Lucas.
I got caught again.
That was brilliant. That was great.
I was just reading an email that, Donna had sent me, and I said, I didn't like something, and I said, oh boy.
So we just came into the segment, like, oh, boy. Here we go. Well, we are going to transport you from that moment.
Okay.
You don't have to worry about that, because we have an exciting time for food and drink. It's an exciting place to be, Troy, New York, and we want to transport you there.
Always had great restaurants in Troy.
Absolutely. And our next two guests will provide a little bite for us, a beverage, and they will certainly do the same for you when you come out to enjoy the American Music Festival.
That's right. Lucas Confectionery in downtown Troy, wine bar, that also features craft beer, coffee drinks, cheeses, small plates, confections, and desserts. Their setting pays tribute to the building's confectionery history, using reclamation materials to create a design inspired by the industrial era of the city of Troy. The grocery offers a wide range of quality cured meats and artisan cheeses, craft beer, wine by the glass, baked goods, snacks, pasta, and local sauces are also available, along with the daily household items. Both Lucas Confectionery and The Grocery, capital G, are owned by Vic Christopher and Heather Levine. Okay.
And they join us now.
Yeah.
And we welcome them. And thank you very much. We're also joined by our good friends, Greg Stacey and Paul Minbuehl, and they're from Brown's Brewing in Troy, and they've been brewing and serving dependable ales and lagers from the Hudson Valley since 1993. And
what do you mean by dependable?
They're always here for us.
Uh-huh.
They're always here for us. They're just screwing around. They're always here.
I got it.
All right.
But that's the very definition of dependable.
That's right. No screwing around. Greg and Paul, it's a delight to see you guys. It's always good to see you. Thanks for being here.
Thanks for having us.
Appreciate it.
Absolutely.
All right. So let's talk first to Vic and Heather, because you guys, this is – how long are we talking? Have you been open and operating?
We're sort of newbies, I suppose.
Yes.
The confectionery opened November 2012, the grocery October 2013.
Now, Heather, you're a teacher. I know that about you. I've done a little research. how do you go from being a teacher to doing this?
Teaching was sort of years ago, and then there were multiple careers in between. But I think what brings it all together is working with people.
Uh-huh.
Is that
same thing?
Yeah, sort of. And what let me tell you, there are many things that I learned from my teaching days that certainly are applicable to running a business.
So ultimately, what are you trying to, in the business, what can we find there? When we go, what do we find?
Hopefully great service,
okay.
Great food, great wine. We really are focusing on bringing in products and providing our with products that you're not going to be able to find elsewhere. So
like,
we work with a lot of boutique wineries from across the country, across the world, really. A lot of regional cheeses, small production, both with the wine and the cheese.
And there's, I would think there's kind of a, what's the word? You go through, what's the word I'm looking for? Like a jury process, where you're going through to see whether the cheese makes the cut for your store or not, as it were.
I like it.
Yeah, we certainly do a fair amount of research and talk to a lot of people and do a lot of tasting, which is, quite frankly, a perk of the job.
The good part.
You don't look it. You're very thin.
Thank you.
And what gets and what has to happen for you to go, oh, my God, Vic, get over here?
He's usually the one saying, oh, my God, get over here. I'm a lot less demonstrative when it comes to that stuff.
I'm easily excitable.
So, and you're a part of the equation. What are you trying to accomplish on a daily basis?
We're trying to create excitement in the downtown of the city of Troy. We're trying to help spark a region on a city level.
Yeah.
And we're continuing to build. I'm more the physical builder of this tandem here. But there's a very interesting thing happening in our neighborhood. And there's about 7 projects right now. Some of it which has been announced in public, and other people just kind of putting their head down and working on historic buildings and doing some really incredible things with adaptive reuse of long vacant properties. And it is a very exciting time to be a part of this renaissance in our downtown area.
I mean, it's so interesting because, you know, when people talk about Troy, sometimes there are put-down artists who say, you know, oh, Troy. But every time I'm over here, I love the way that it looks. Am I being fooled?
It is the most well-preserved city in New York State, in my estimation. And a lot of the critics and the people that have been here and been critical for a long time don't realize the treasure that exists. And, you know, there was a large stretch of downtown Troy between 3rd and Broadway where the atrium now exists. And there's a lot of lament for some of the buildings that were knocked down on Front Street along the Hudson River. But what remains is better than anything else anywhere. And it's providing an unbelievable opportunity for entrepreneurs to pick up buildings inexpensively and live the American dream. And it is a wonderful place to do business. And the city and the government and the residents of Troy are excited by what's going on downtown. And we're just happy to be a part of it.
So what are the challenges?
Well, I mean, I think there are challenges are minimal compared to other cities and things that I hear from people. I'm from Brooklyn originally.
Everybody's from Brooklyn.
That's right.
Or going to Brooklyn.
That's correct.
Okay.
But I think that that there are always challenges in business, but it is a lot easier to get things accomplished in the city of Troy than other areas, including some of the neighboring municipalities. And I talk to some people that have done projects, and there's a lot of obstruction in a lot of places, but I can tell you in Troy, they welcome the development.
Terrific.
You know that you are you're very passionate. There's no reason not to not only go to your business but not to vote for you.
Oh, please.
Not going to happen.
Never happened.
Okay.
Never happened. Right. You know, in politics, politicians talk, you know, and I was involved in government for a while. And I didn't realize until I put a brick on top of another brick and physically started working with my hands that is action. There is two things in this life. There is talk and there is action. And when you start to make movement in a physical direction, it changes the world.
For those of you listening right now, that is what we call in the interviewing business, touching a nerve.
Touching a nerve.
I think that's what we just did. We touched a nerve.
There must be some way we can make some more trouble.
Yeah.
You know, Alan, one more thing. Back to criticism.
See, you're right.
back to criticism. There are people that will critique no matter what. And there are people that will knock on Troy right now. And those same people in 10 years will lament that real estate prices have gotten too high.
Exactly.
There's always going to be something to
buy
critique.
Buy low, sell high.
Always going to be something to critique for critics. That's all they do.
Now, for Greg and Paul, you've been in this game for a long time. You've been doing this a long time at Browns, and Browns is a wonderful success story in Troy, and I guess obviously a part of that has to do with the craft beer movement as a whole, but also, of course, where you are in Troy, the community itself, right?
Sure. Yeah, and actually, you know, Gary Brown, when he started Browns in 93, it's a very similar story to what Vic and Heather are doing. It was on River Street, and it was a city that really had not much going on at all. We got the buildings for a song, and hard work and sweat, brick by brick, built up Browns Brewing Company.
So what do you think the success has been for you? The key to that success has been what?
Well, certainly the craft beer category. You know, we're a brew pub, and we've been brewing our own beer on site, so that's really been made the major part of what our success is. I think being in Troy at the time when there wasn't really a lot going on was certainly a big touchstone for the restaurant part of the business. So there were really a couple of few things going on. It was being the first kids on the block and then having great beer and being in a category, an industry that was growing.
So deferring to Joe's far greater knowledge about beer and, you know, things like that, my question would be, what does the word craft mean? For those of us who are uninitiated,
craft is really the distinction, and from an industry terminology, is the category of beer that is essentially not big yellow fizzy. So if you think of the really big boys, the Buds, Miller's, Coors, that is not craft. Craft, by definition, from the Brewers Association, would be breweries from Sam Adams on down. So the Brewers Association defines that by beers that are, or breweries that are 100% U.S. owned. Their flagship beer, meaning their number one beer, is all malted barley, not using adjuncts like corn and chemicals and a lot of GMO materials. and really, by a barrelage standpoint, are much smaller compared to the big guys.
What would you do if you found somebody in the craft movement who was using GMO materials?
Oh, that's a big ugly right now. Unfortunately, actually, it's an interesting question. I was just in Vermont. We're selling beer in Vermont, and they just passed the GMO law to have labeling for everything to be GMO. So all talking about this, define GMO. There's a lot of GMO. Almost everything is GMO to some degree. So how do you define that? And, you know, there are a lot of people in Vermont saying, well, hey, you know, we're so grateful that our small little brewers are not using GMO products. Well, if they're not using products that were grown right on their own property, they're using GMO products.
Is that right?
Absolutely. I mean, there's to some degree, everything is GMO. There's worse GMO than others. But, you know, we're getting our grain from all the same place. It's largely from the Midwest. It's largely from Canada. And unfortunately, that's a degree of what happens to most foods these days.
Fascinating.
So the two of you work very closely together. So give us an idea of the roles that you play within the craft of the beer.
Well, Paul is our GM and vice president of, I call him the Troy Theater. He's on this side, this coast of Rensselaer County, and I'm now on the other coast of Rensselaer County.
In Hoosick.
So I'm really handling all of the wholesale business and expanding the brewery part of the business. And Paul is running, and I can let Paul speak to this, but he's taken over the business down in Troy with the pub.
Yeah, so I oversee all the restaurant operations, banquets, and assist in the brewery itself. However, we have two very capable, extraordinary brewers downstairs. I say downstairs, I feel like I'm in the building right now.
No.
Downstairs, who do a great job, and I'm only there to assist as far as to facilitate equipment failure and basically troubleshooting issues we might have, plumbing, electrical, transportation of goods at times. So
wait a second. I'm a little confused here. As usual, your part of the business is out in Hoosick now. You just said
brand new.
Yes, you just said downstairs. You see my confusion, the level of my confusion, which is, are you making the beer downstairs? Or you're making it in Hoosick.
Yes,
both locations.
So we've had the pub since 1993 in Troy on River Street. We opened our production brewery out in Hoosick Falls last.
I remember that
summer. Yeah. So all of our beer for Troy is being brewed in Troy, and our beer for our wholesale distribution is being brewed in Hoosick. So we have the two or three brewers down in Troy. They kind of rotate, and we have brewers that come out to Hoosick as well.
All right, yep. You brought beer and pizza. What do we have here?
The lighter style is a new style for us. It's a cream ale. It's brand new this year. It just got a gold medal at the Tap New York for best beer in the Hudson Valley.
I told you before, Greg, this is the best beer I've had in a long time.
I'm not going to argue with it.
It's a fantastic beer. It deserves a gold medal.
Well, and you know, it's interesting because a lot of people think of another large national cream ale.
Jenny cream ale.
No names will be cited here, but as a style, it's a craft style, so we're using real malted ingredients. We croisen with our Tom Hannock Pilsner, which is a traditional Czech style.
Ask what croisening is.
What's croisening?
Croisening. Glad you asked. As an ale, this beer is an ale, and we croisening is a process where you use a lager in the back end of the fermentation, and that ends up giving a little creamy texture to the beer. It also gives a little bit of a different flavor. So you're mixing two different styles of yeasts. And in our case, the lager that we're using is a Pilsner, a Czech Pilsner. So
I always thought a lager was somebody who cut down a tree. But
they drink lagers.
Yeah.
L-O-G-G-L-A-G, right?
L-A-G, yep.
L-A-G. Lager.
Right.
Lager,
so if you think of wine, reds are to whites, lagers are to ales and beer. It doesn't go by color and grapes so much, but by the style of yeasts.
And then there is a darker beer before us.
The darker beer here, this is from
By the way, I just want you to know, when you were talking about GMOs, Paul quickly went for the cream ale. Just like,
Right. It's a hot topic now, and it'll be interesting to see where that goes as things come on. The dark style here comes from our malt room, the new cask conditioned bar that we have in the basement of Revolution Hall.
What's the malt room? I have pictures, but this is very cool. So we have to explain this on radio, but it seems like a very intimate style.
It is. This is a space that we've had. It was a vacant basement in the basement of Rev Hall for quite a long time, and we thought, you know, let's do something with this. And around the time, you know, Vic and Heather were putting their place together, we were thinking, you know, I think we were kind of thinking along the same ways. I actually lived right next door to the confectionery when I lived in Troy, and they were building their place out. We were building our place out. I think we were all in this vein of, we want a place that's a little bit, I don't know, for us, we're older. We wanted a place that wasn't as crazy and as loud as the as some of the other bars are, but a place that was a little bit more refined. And the Malt Room is a place that, from an aesthetic standpoint, it's just a much more quiet, relaxed place. We have cask-conditioned ales. We have three cask-conditioned ales on the bar, which are the way beers were made before Prohibition. They're pulled by gravity pull taps. 40 scotches, 20 bourbons. The music's never louder than your voice. No TVs, no flavored vodka. It's just a nice, relaxing, refined place to be.
The ruination of society, flavored vodka.
Flavored vodkas. So, but this is our porter, our traditional porter, and it's cask conditioned with oak, with Sazerac rye soaked oak chips. So you'll get a little bit of a vanilla flavor. You'll get a little bit of.
So where do the oak chips go now?
The oak chips go into what's called a cask or a firkin. Yeah. So cask conditioned beer, we essentially are doing the final fermentations in the cask as opposed to in the bigger tanks. So it's a little bit more. Some people say warm and flat. It's actually less or not artificially carbonated and less filtered. So you get a little bit more of a raw style of the beer. So it's a much more smooth, a much more creamy, just a much more fuller style of beer.
Got it.
It is. It's beautiful. And this, I think to Alan's point earlier, you know, when you drink something like this, you realize that you're drinking something that's craft, that isn't commercial, like independent versus commercial.
Well, look, I hate beer, I'll be honest with you.
And but not anymore.
And I have sipped both of these, and they're terrific. Yeah. You know, I can actually drink it.
Right. Well, you know, and they're really
luckily we brought another growler for you.
Yeah. Now, we also have pizza in front of us, so what's, because this looks really good. What is this?
The pizza is actually a flatbread pizza that we used beer. We actually use the wort, which is what helps make the beer in the initial stages. Adds the sugar for the yeast, for the alcohol. We use some of the residual wort to make the dough. We actually have a individual, Kyle Bokash, you're welcome, Kyle, downstairs, again, downstairs in the malt room. He's actually producing all the food down there. He's doing a fantastic job. Mm-hmm. The interesting part, his origination with Troy Brewing Company, Brown's Brewing Company, was as an assistant brewer. So he has a working knowledge of the product that was down there. And he actually migrated upstairs into the kitchen and has since moved on to become our malt room chef. And he's doing a fantastic job. That is flatbread pizza with goat cheese, some crisp prosciutto, roasted walnuts, and arugula.
Joe and I are both on the Weight Watchers, so we wanted to know, at least I did, how many points might be in this.
I would say half or maybe or three at the most.
Half or three, that's a big difference.
You can't eat until Saturday.
Right. It's well worth it, though. I'd take the risk.
Well, you can take the app and take a picture, and then it'll tell you.
It will not.
Well, it should. It's supposed to. It doesn't necessarily do it. Right. But anyway.
That's inside baseball.
Anyway, because, Alan and I will talk about this later. As we dissect it. But it's fantastic. It's really good. So what other flatbread pizzas are there?
We change our menu weekly. We're open Wednesday through Saturday, 5 o'clock till close, basically, providing food throughout. We kind of let Kyle run with it, with the overseeing of our chef and our banquet chef next door, what product is going out. He makes his own sausages, cured meats, all the charcuterie type items.
But you know, you have something that's this good. This is magnificent. And you come back the next week, and it ain't there.
That's true. However, something it might be even better and bigger is in its place, hopefully. Yeah. And we do request. I mean, if somebody suggests last week I had something, if we have the product still in house, we'll certainly make it for him.
Oh, I see. You can sort of do that with a pizza.
Yep. Yeah. It's nice.
No, go ahead.
I'm sorry. I was going to say it's nice. It's about between 6 and 8 items on the menu. So it's we do bread and cheese and then some other items as well.
So so for Vic and Heather, like you feel like you're all in this together, right?
There's an unbelievable feeling, a collegial manner in the small businesses that make up downtown Troy's business community. And we believe in colleagues. It's not competition. From my standpoint, I think we need to triple the amount of bars and restaurants in the city of Troy because we're well on our way to becoming a dining destination like Saratoga.
Right.
I would say that a majority of business owners agree with that sentiment.
Well, Great Barrington, where I live.
And we are just getting started in Troy. There's a lot more to come.
True.
Yeah, I agree. I mean, I go to the confectionery when I'm in town. I mean, it's a great place, and it's just, you know, if we could have more places like the Malt Room and the confectionery within Troy, within Albany, within everywhere, I think we'd be, with the world, be a better place.
Well, yeah, good food.
Great food, great beer.
Beer, wine.
Great people.
Yeah, great people. Good point.
Civilized ambiance.
Good point.
Are there any bad people in Troy?
You know, it's pretty interesting.
They're all sitting
at the
table.
Be our final question.
As a whole, the businesses in Troy, I was telling Heather earlier, I don't get out as much as maybe I should or I'd like to, or maybe if I would like to, I would. But in any case, you don't hear generally Troy businesses casting disparaging remarks about other places. At least I try to instill that that culture at Brown's is, you know, the more businesses, the better. The more people that are coming to the locations, the more opportunities we all have to be successful.
We need everyone to be successful. Right. Rising tide raises all boats. We're all in it together. Downtown Troy is a tight place for people that work there and run businesses, and we want to see everybody thrive.
Well, we want to see everybody thrive as well. Lucas Confectionery, the grocery, and Brown's Brewing are all located in downtown Troy. For more information about the confectionery, visit lucasconfectionery.wordpress.com. Brown's website is brownsbrewing.com. Vic, Heather, Greg, Paul, thank you very much for being here. A great pleasure. Thank you for feeding us and for providing beer and just for being nice, wonderful people.
Thank you very much for having us.
We appreciate it. Thank you very much. We need to leave this place. We are out of time. We're out of show. And we need to leave this place of experimental media and performance and turn it over to the capable hands of the ASO. Reminder, you can find out more at albanysymphony.com.
Okay, sincere thanks to all the guests who joined us this morning, with special thanks to Maestro David Allen Miller, ASO General Manager Allison Bolton and Kristen Gilbert, and Box Office Manager Ella Golding. Thanks also to Jessica O'Rourke, I get this a little messed up, for knowing how to get us on the air and keep it that way. And a big tip of the hat to the man on the board back home, Dave Hopper.
And thanks to Kristen Gilbert, of course. Also thanks to Dave Bibb? Yes, Dave Bibb, who helped us with our technical needs this morning. Special thanks to Alan for being part of the mayhem. Thank you, Alan, as always.
Thank you, Joe.
Thanks to Sarah for her role as producer. Thanks to you for joining us this morning. The Roundtable will be back tomorrow in studio. Until then, Brian Shields is next.